Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, verses 1 through 20. I'll be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also, for I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we're even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we've hoped in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. This morning, I want to preach on Easter, the hope of the world. You and I are living in a very strange period of time, perhaps different than any other time in all of human history. We're living in a time that people want to, at every turn of the road, discredit Christianity, discredit the veracity of the Word of God. And so you and I are challenged in this day and time, if there ever was a time for you and for me to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the only hope that there is for this world, then I believe the time is now. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. It was not a perfect church. I think somewhere along the way, the world has gotten some kind of misconceived idea of the church. You see, churches are filled with imperfect people. They're filled with imperfect ministers. And therefore, we see, as Paul is writing here to this church, during that time of early Christianity, he had dealt in the book of 1 Corinthians with divisions that were going on in this particular church. He spoke about discipline in the church. He dealt with the difficulties in the church. And now he turns his attention to disbelief in the church. Now, at the heart of the Christian gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No other religion is based upon the historical fact of a bodily resurrection. You see, it's unique to Christianity. It sets us apart from any other world religion. And Christianity rises and falls and stands upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection of Christ is an undeniable fact of human history. It's an indisputable fact of theology, and everything hinges on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because the resurrection is the cornerstone of the gospel, the resurrection has been also the target of Satan's greatest attacks against the church today. If the resurrection is eliminated, the life-giving power of the gospel is eliminated. The deity of Christ is eliminated. Salvation from sin is eliminated, and eternal life is eliminated. You see, without the resurrection story, salvation could have not been proved. And without belief in the resurrection, salvation cannot be received. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, it's therefore impossible to call yourself a Christian and not believe in the resurrection. So, if there ever was a day that gives hope to the world, I want you to know it's Resurrection Sunday. Do you believe that this morning? Let me tell you, it's the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus that gives you and me hope. Hope in the here and now and hope in the hereafter. You and I, because of that resurrection morning some 2,000 years ago, we can have the hope of forgiveness. We can have the hope of peace. We can have the hope of assurance. We can have the hope of eternity. And that hope is centered this morning in none other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It certainly was for King David of old. Look what he said in Psalm chapter 39, verse 7. He said, my hope is in you, for you are my hope. O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. I read just the other day that someone was looking through various things they had collected and kept over the years and had stuck away in drawers, and they were cleaning those out and discarding some things. They ran across their father's report card. It was back in the 1941 era. On that card, young people, were the grades A, B, C, and F. And then there was an interesting other letter that was included there. I never knew that there was a grade below F, but evidently there was back in the 1940s. It was G, which stood for hopeless. Did any of you out there this morning ever receive a G? I thought it was goodness gracious. I had no idea it stood for hopelessness. Well, this morning, as we look at Corinthians 15 and see what you and I have this morning, what would you and I have this morning had there never been that Easter morning 2,000 years ago? What if tomorrow morning's headlines in all the major newspapers around the world said, the body of Jesus is discovered, Christianity is in chaos? What would that mean? What would that mean to a world? Well, the Apostle Paul was writing to these Corinthian Christians, and he tells us four things that it would mean if there never had been an Easter resurrection Sunday morning. First of all, he says in our passage in verse 14, our message is meaningless. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Now understand, Paul's writing to this church. They're confused. Some of them are in disbelief about the resurrection, and so Paul makes it clear. He makes it very blunt. He says, if Jesus Christ is still dead, then we're wasting our time preaching the gospel. And those that are hearing, the gospel would be wasting their time in listening. In fact, both you and I would be foolish in giving our time and devotion this morning if Christ is still dead. We'd be better off on the golf course or some lake or hiking out there in the trails in the mountains. You see, when Peter was convinced that Jesus Christ really had died and that he had come back to life, you know what Peter did? He went back to doing what he did every day. I mean, when he was convinced that Jesus was dead and he hadn't seen Jesus since he ran away from the cross on that Friday afternoon, he had not met the risen Christ. Peter just went back and started fishing. I mean, why not? You know, if there was no assurance, let me tell you, I can promise you this morning, it's never going to happen that Jesus' body is going to be found. It's never going to happen that they're going to find his bones somewhere. If you will remember, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and even allowed himself to be worshiped as God, and he said that he would rise from the dead. Now, if Jesus is dead, then Christianity would be dead, because that would spark a flame against the cause of Christianity and the resurrection. In fact, the only way that I know that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God is because of the resurrection. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 said, Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. I don't know about you, but I hope this morning that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know the greatest decision in all of life, it's not the accomplishments that we have. It's not all of the accolades of praise we receive. It's not because of all of the degrees from various universities that are conferred upon us through years of hard work. But the greatest decision in all of life this morning is this: do you know Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the living hope of the world? Do you know him this morning as your personal Lord and Savior? When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about them not understanding, not knowing if the resurrection had happened or not, Paul said, if Christ did not rise, then first of all, our message is meaningless. Secondly, he said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, in verse 15, he says, our witness is worthless. He says, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. Now, the words for false witness there in English, it's actually a combination of two Greek words. The first word is the word pseudo, which literally means false. A pseudo-intellectual is someone who thinks they're smart when they're really not. You see, a pseudonym is a false name. And the other half of that word is the word from which we get our English word for martyr. And today, a martyr is someone who dies for a cause, but originally that word meant a witness. So in other words, if Jesus Christ, Paul says, if he has not been raised from the dead, then those of us who are out there sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus were liars, were false witnesses. You see, if Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead, the greatest liar of all would be himself, because he's the one who repeatedly said he would die, but he would be raised on the third day. Now, Paul says if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Paul is saying that our witness is worthless. In other words, Jesus would be a liar. And folks, let me tell you, all the New Testament would be a lie, and all of those great men down through the ages that have proclaimed the gospel message would be liars. If Christ is not risen from the dead, not only do we have a meaningless message, but we have a worthless witness. But thirdly, he says, our faith is foolish. I was telling my Sunday school class just this morning, a follower of Buddha wrote about him after his passing. When Buddha died, it was with that utter passing away in which nothing whatever remains. Muhammad died at Medina on June the 8th, 1632, at the age of 61. There are thousands and thousands and millions who visit that tomb, that grave where Muhammad is buried. They don't go there to celebrate the resurrection. They go there to mourn his passing. I want you to know Buddha died and is buried. Muhammad died and is buried. But I want you to know Jesus Christ of Nazareth was crucified. He died and was buried, but he rose again on the third day. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us he made some 10 post-resurrection appearances right in the presence of 500, as we just read there a few moments ago. Now, if there were no resurrection, then in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, which is the hall of fame for those of faith, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we would look at the hall of fame and they would be the hall of foolishness. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and David and the prophets and all of the others would absolutely been faithful for nothing. They would have been mocked. They would have been scourged. They would have been imprisoned. They would have been stoned. They would have been afflicted. They would have been ill-treated, and they would have been put to death completely in vain. But I want you to know this morning, because Jesus Christ rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, you and I have a hope. We have a living hope, and it's in a living, risen Christ. And if Christ, Paul says to this church that had some disbelief, Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then not only do we have a meaningless message and a worthless witness, but thirdly, our faith is foolish. Our faith is foolish. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Now, folks, this morning, I want you to know you and I are here because we know that our faith is not foolish. We know that we have a living faith because we have a living, risen Savior today. When I think about the various religions of the world this morning and I see hopeless people groping in the darkness of this world and they're grasping for hope and they're looking for hope and they're filled with depression, and they're filled with a lack of assurance in their hearts and life. I'm thankful this morning for Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Because if in this life only we have hope, the Bible says we're of all men most miserable. Lastly, this morning, Paul was saying to this church, these believers, they're questioning what will happen. He goes on for 58 verses in this chapter. It's the greatest treatise on the resurrection of any passage of Scripture in all of the Bible. He goes on to tell them they want to know about their loved ones. Well, if there's no resurrection, then our loved ones are just dead. And so there's this disbelief. And had it not been for this church with these problems, you and I would not have this great treatise on the resurrection from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writes to assure them that Christ is alive. Notice he says in verse 32, if from human motives I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I've said to people many, many times throughout the ages, I've said to people, you know, if all you do, if for some chance you are just born into this world and all of a sudden you just grow up as a little kid and you go off to school and you go through all of that and then you get out of high school and either you go to work or you go to college or you find some vocation to do, and then you get married, you have your family, life's a struggle, it's a hard thing, and you never know what's around the corner lurking at you. And then you get older, and then your health begins to decline, and you fall apart, and then eventually you die. And they either cremate you or they bury you. If that's all there is to life, then we're hopeless and we're helpless. And we're in our sins. And there's absolutely nothing that can fix that. But thanks be to God. I love what Paul said in the 20th verse. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. Folks, let me tell you, that's why you and I are here this morning. That's why we're here today. And I want you to know it's all because of that Easter Sunday morning resurrection. When Jesus appeared, and let me tell you, immediately the gospel began to spread all over the Roman Empire, and people began to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And from a handful of disciples of 12, the church grew, people grew. The followers wound up being 120. Then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood boldly and proclaimed the resurrected Christ. And 3,000 people got saved in one day. Do you think those disciples, do you think that they would have carried the mandate of the message of the gospel, knowing that all of them but one was going to die a martyr's death? I read this past week, time after time after time, where people are giving their life as martyrs all over the world for the cause of Christ. Some of them beheaded. Some of them set on flames of fire. Those early Christians, when you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, he speaks about those that gave their life for Christ. Folks, I want you to know Jesus was someone, is someone, always will be someone to give our lives for. And I want you to know those disciples, they marched to their martyrdom, believing, knowing, because they saw visibly with their eyes the risen Christ. I'm grateful this morning to know that there is a Savior, and He is the one that gives hope to a hopeless world. If you don't know Jesus, reach out through faith. Receive Him into your heart and life, and let Him be the Lord of your life, the living Christ of Easter. Right now, I'm going to pray in a second, but before I do, I want to close this Easter sermon this morning with this video of two Canadian girls singing a song called the Easter Hallelujah. Several people have sent me this week, and this is a wonderful way to close this sermon out this morning. The video is not all that great, it's grainy, but I want you to know the message of this song. Thank you, Corky Chandler, for sending me that first. And I want to close it out. Please, prayerfully, listen to these words. I'm going to pray. Martha's going to hit the button, and we're going to listen to this song before we have an invitation. Father God, we pause this morning in gratitude for Easter, for what it means to Christians all over the world today. And Father, without Christ, it's a hopeless end. But with Christ, there's an eternity of happiness and joy and reunion and celebration and all the other things that you've planned in that new heaven and new earth that you have prepared one of these days for the redeemed of this earth. Father, thank you because you loved us enough that you were willing to step out of heaven's glory, that you were willing to come and die on the cross and shed your blood to cover our sins, and then to rise victoriously to give us a living hope. Thank you, Father, for Christianity and what this day means in the hearts and lives of people all over the world. Father, thank you for this song. Thank you for these two girls that recorded this and the wonderful words of this song. As we hear it played out this morning, may we celebrate the living Christ, in whose name we pray, and all God's people said,